Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, the NFL draft has concluded. This was Nick Caserio in the moment. This was after he drafted Lassiter, Blake Fisher, and Kalen Bullock. This was Nick Caserio explaining his mindset and really just the overall mindset of day two of the draft.
We don't really take a needs-based approach. It's more football player-based approach, and you just can't have enough quality football players. There might be a situation where a player maybe doesn't play this year, but maybe his opportunity potentially could be more next year because of maybe how the roster is constructed. But we don't have a crystal ball, so we're not going to sort of make any predetermined decisions about a player's role, who fits where. Honestly, the competition will sort itself out. And what we've hopefully have done is just create a sense of urgency. And you have to play well and perform well in order to stay in this building. And if you don't, then we have to keep the 53 best.
All right, that's cool. Look, I've said this before, and I think Ocho puts it the best perspective. I think the pick of Lassiter was a pick for need. And I think if they were going to draft for need, I think cornerback, not defensive tackle, was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to convince me, and I don't think we're going to look back at this 2 years from now and say that Kamari Lassiter is a better football player than Adonai Mitchell. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I don't think that's the case. He's in Indianapolis now, so it's probably going to hit a little bit closer to home. We're going to get two looks at him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're truly just trying to draft the best football players, I like Lassiter. I like the makeup and all that. I do wonder if he would have been there a little bit later on. But you're not going to convince me that he's a better football player than Adonai Mitchell. You probably can't convince me that he's a better football player than Edgerrin Cooper. I think Edgerrin Cooper is really good as well.
Yeah.
I have no problem drafting for need in that situation. They're not selling him as this guy can be a starter. They're selling him as versatile, tough. You know, don't worry about the fact that he's pushing 6 feet and he runs a 4.6. Some say he benefited from the surroundings at Georgia. Some say it might actually have held him back. Kirby Smart has a lot of good things to say about him. I'm fine drafting for need there. And really, it shaped up to where that was just the kind of situation. That was where you found yourself. Cooper DeJean, Philadelphia, trade up and got him. Never a good sign for me when Philadelphia aggressively wants someone and then the Saints went in front of you and got Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah.
If this had been Kool-Aid McKinstry, I would feel a lot better. Now, sometimes our feelings get proven as suspect or wrong. That happens every draft. But I just look at this Kamari Lassiter thing, and I'm a little bit more understanding of it because I looked at that as a draft for need.
Look, the way he put it, it was very clever. He says, we don't draft for need. We just draft good football players, the best football players we can. Well, you're drafting a football player there that is going to be able to compete, as he put it, at that high position, at the cornerback position, at a high level. But if you're talking about just the best football players, look at the next 10 picks after Lasseter. In those 10 picks, Edgren Cooper, Jonathan Brooks was in those. Another running back, Tyler Newbin, a safety that was highly regarded from safety, Minnesota. And then Adonai Mitchell was in there as well. So all those players could have been a very good fit for what the Texans, quote-unquote, needed.
Yeah.
But they felt more compelled at the cornerback position.
Yeah, and I think Adonai Mitchell and I think that Cooper immediately contribute to what you're trying to do.
They needed a linebacker.
Fine. Yeah.
They needed a running back.
But they needed a corner more.
But needed a cornerback.
This was a draft for need. That's how I look at it. And I know we always say need versus best player available. Sometimes you draft for need. I looked at this as a need, and things just got kind of stripped from you as Kool-Aid McKinstry goes right in front of your face.
Yeah.
So there was that. Then you had Blake Fisher selected, tackle out of Notre Dame. Now, there are some people that believe that he might be better than Titus Howard now. I know John Harris said on the draft show, I know people have brought this up, you know, he's not coming here to be a swing tackle. Okay. Well, then when Nick Caserio says that Titus Howard is one of the best tackles in the league, you got to kind of roll your eyes at it, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, I think in the long term, this is a guy that you want to be a better tackle than either Titus Howard or Laramie Tunsil, so that when you're paying C.J. Stroud, he is the guy that you start and you have to make tough decisions. But again, John Harris says that he's not coming in here to be a swing tackle. I don't know what the hell that means. Does he beat out Titus Howard? If so, you move on from it and you respect being proactive, but that would be kind of a misevaluation of Titus Howard, given the fact that you're paying him like a top five right tackle in the league.
You brought this up earlier, and I think it's a great comparison on a different level. You know, the whole Michael Penix Jr. when you have Kirk Cousins. That's at the highest level.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
And Kirk Cousins is better at quarterback than Howard is at tackle.
Proven.
Yeah.
Yeah, proven. But that's an extreme example. But at this level down here, it's the same. You got a guy that got paid, not whatever the guarantee was for $100 million in 2 years or whatever, but got a big guarantee. You pencil him in at right tackle, and then you draft somebody who plays that position. That's not an accident.
Here was Nick Caserio's explanation of that pick, the Fisher pick, and listen to how he ends this. I want you to tell me how you feel with the final sentence of what Nick Caserio says here.
Good football player, big believer you can't have enough tackles on your football team. You know, whether it's Charlie Heck, whether it's George Fant, Jones. I mean, Titus and LT are good football players. You need three or four tackles that you feel can go out there and play. You can't have enough tackles. You all have seen us play. At some point, they're going to have to play. Even going back to 22, we had to play multiple tackles. So, I mean, LT didn't play, and then we had to move Titus over, and then Charlie played. You know, so you're going to need tackles. Heck, can't have enough good ones on your team. And, I mean, Blake's a tackle. I think Titus is definitely unique. I mean, I'd say, you know, Titus is a better tackle than he is an inside player. I mean, Titus is honestly one of the better tackles, you know, in the league.
You know what's weird about that? He says you can't have enough tackles because you play multiple. Dude, you can't have enough cornerbacks. You can't have enough running backs. You can't have enough guards. Receivers. How many guards did they play last
receivers?
Year? You can't have enough wide receivers. So I think it's just sort of he's just sort of saying that to kind of fit the draft pick.
Yeah, look, this is a plan to replace Tunsil or Titus Howard. Maybe not this year, but eventually. That's the plan.
Yeah.
You're talking about 2-year plan. That's the plan. If Titus Howard's one of the best tackles in the league, that's great. Cool. Then you got two of the best tackles in the league, and you got a guy that you feel really good about. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep an eye on that and whether or not that is the case. Let's keep a close eye on that.
Yeah.
Then you had Kalen Bolick selected out of USC. I don't think I've seen the Texans war room as excited as they were when this pick went down. You had Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans high-fiving. This is a guy that's very athletic. This is a guy that's kind of a ball hawk. Play multiple positions. Played wide receiver at USC. You draft the safety. Your two safeties right now, not necessarily known for being ball hawks. What does it mean? Does it mean that Jimmy Ward is going to play more nickel? He has said that he doesn't want to. Does it mean that Jalen Petrie is going to be off the field? Who knows? But you added some safety depth. It's a guy that they seem to like a lot. And it's a guy that does something that nobody else on your team at that position really does, which is see ball, get ball. By the way, faster than Lasseter in the 40, a lot taller. As well. So that was your day 2/your day 1 because you didn't have a first round pick. short term, long term, we don't know how much these guys are going to impact things.
Yeah, but I think you can say the combination of a cornerback at 42 and then Bullock getting taken at 78, the combination of a cornerback and safety there tells you, as we've mentioned, they're prioritizing the secondary. And good.
Then you got a corner, you got a linebacker that used to play DB at Oregon. Maybe he can cover. They need linebackers that can cover, that can run in Jamal Hill. If it's a linebacker, you got to think D'Amico likes him. I don't know how he fits in. But again, if he can get on the field in third down and cover better than Denzel Perriman and Henry To'oto'o, that's a good starting point. And that would be a very, very useful thing for the Texans to have. Then you have Jawar Jordan, the running back out of Louisville. Perhaps this guy wins the kick return job. There'll be some competition there, but you heard them mention kick return, had two touchdowns at kick return last year. We know there's new kick return rules. It's going to be impactful. Then another linebacker out of USC, Solomon Bird. D'Amico Ryan seems to like him. He project type of guy. Who knows what happens there? And then you finally draft the D tackle, Marcus Harris out of Auburn. And the tackle out of Michigan, Ladarius Henderson, who also, by the way, played a little bit of guard. So he might be one of those guys that can just play wherever, the versatility that we always talk about. I don't anticipate that Fisher's going to be lining up inside. He's a tackle, so keep an eye on that. Henderson, a guy that maybe a better version of Austin Deculus. Is that fair? Better version of Austin Deculus.
Yeah, and don't forget Cade Stover, the tight end in there as well. So
how could I forget?
How could you forget?
I'm glad you brought it up.
Cade Stover, he's one that that's a position of need, and I think we both agreed on that going into the draft.
So here is the announcement of the Cade Stover pick, one of the most viral moments of the NFL draft sketch. You've seen running routes with CJ, Stephon Diggs, etc. Here was Sketch announcing the pick.
Let's go! What's up, brothers? How are we doing? Make some noise! Come on! This is football! Come on! The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 123rd pick to the Houston Texans! With the 123rd pick of the NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Cade Stover, tight end, Ohio State.
All right, there you go.
This makes you smile.
Well, it made Nick Caserio smile because I've never heard Nick Caserio in my entire life. I've never heard Nick Caserio praise a player like this. He was asked about the evaluation process, what he heard about Cade Stover. This is what the general manager, often robotic, general manager of your Houston Texans had to say.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's elite. I mean, this guy is as tough and hard-nosed a player that they had in the program. Just kind of going back to the question and D'Amico's answer about developing players, I'd say Cade's a good example of a player who has only played tight end for 2 years, so he's certainly not a finished product, but he has the mindset and the work ethic to improve. I mean, how he was raised. I mean, this guy is everything you want in a football player. And then more. I mean, he probably played hurt this year. I mean, I think he had an MCL or had an issue where, quite frankly, it would have limited some other players, but he just braced it up and he just kept playing football. So, I mean, I don't want to speak for D'Amico, but I think we feel the same way. This is probably one of our favorite, like, football players in the entire draft, regardless of position, because of his mentality, because of his mindset. And he still is developing as a player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was playing defensive end in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Now he's, you know, played tight end for 2 years, and here he is getting picked in the bottom of the fourth round. And his position is, you know, we think tight end. That's why we drafted him. So, but, I mean, blue collar as they come, and from a makeup, traits, toughness, mentality, I mean, this is an elite guy.
All right, elite guy, okay.
Man.
I think Caserio must have, like, smoked a cigarette or something after day three of the draft, because he kind of partook in what he considers to be the dumbest thing in the world. This was Nick Caserio leading up to the draft, while he was still in the mix, talking about draft grades and evaluating drafts.
You know, we're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon, draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of.
All right, it's ridiculous. Then this is how he started it on the day three post-draft conference?
Another productive day for us. A lot of good conversations in the draft room. I mean, a lot of work, a lot of effort. I mean, D'Amico and I were just talking. It feels like we grinded out a win, but that's what this is about.
All right, grinded out a
grinded
win.
Grinded out a win.
That kind of sounds like a grade to me.
It's in the neighborhood.
Kind of sounds like a grade to me.
It sounded to me like they had some setbacks in terms of what they thought they were going to get and had to make some adjustments. But that's always.
You think
the case.
They got hopped a couple times?
I think they got hopped. I think they got hopped. Now, maybe they were going to end up with the same player anyway in Lassiter, but they definitely got hopped.
No, I think they were going to get Kool-Aid.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, you won't be able to convince me that McKinstry was going to be the guy there.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but I would tend to lean with you if I had to give an opinion on that.
Yeah, that just seems like the kind of guy that they would like. So
that's
the encore, if you will, with D'Amico and Caserio, the draft, a little bit different feel, no first-round pick. Seemed like they hopefully established some depth. As far as immediate impact guys, TBD is what I'll say, TBD.
You always look at a draft. Now, they didn't have the first-round pick, but you say, okay, how many starters did get out of this draft? Maybe zero. Maybe two. I mean, you know, or more. That's the thing. It's hard to say because these are guys that are going to be, you know, very much compete at positions where they need an upgrade, specifically, you know, the top guys, cornerback, safety, and tackle.
And I mean, this is when you talk about not rushing when it comes to draft and stuff like that. I mean, we look at the second-year guys this year. It was extremely disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were getting their You were hearing a lot of praise of them. Damian Pierce, Jalen Petrie. And then they come back and they don't look very good, you know? And then you saw Derek Stingley crank it up a notch. It was, man, they should have taken Sauce Gardner. So it is always kind of early to evaluate these things. I don't think this – I don't think they were just looking. And this was actually a mindset that I praised. So perhaps I should be pleased with it. But I don't think they were just looking at – this year when it came to these picks. There is a theory on the text line that maybe Nick Caserio is trying to pump up Titus Howard so he can trade him.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that.
I don't think you can trade that contract.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But look, the other part of this that's really interesting to me, not just the secondary, is that the running back position was not prioritized at all.
No, and everybody...
And that was key.
Everybody from that Shanahan pipeline does, so... There's got to be a little bit more for them to do, for sure.
Yeah, well, they're bringing in, you know, undrafted free agents, et cetera, but that's still not a priority compared to – well, you know, one thing that we talk about a lot, I mean, the really good running backs are second and third round picks, and that's not something they did. Just not – they weren't interested in doing it, you know? And there were running backs available in the third round in particular.
And there were teams that had better running back rooms that went
that
and
still
got running backs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Went up and got it. So, yeah. No grade here unless you want to give a grade.
I got to
give a grade. I'll give him a C. Wait and see.
I hate grades so much.
Give him a wait and see.
But shout out to B. Scott because he did have to do the grades for the Chronicle and did a good job on that. I was reading it this morning. But I hate in the moment grades because what are you grading?
I mean, you're grading excitement. You're projecting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Early on. So, yeah, I mean, that's...
So what grade would you give him overall?
C. Wait and see. Wait and letter C. Wait and see. C.
I like that.
I don't mean that bad.
I mean, no, I know.
We'll just see. I mean, I don't... Yeah. There's blind faith, and then... But the other thing is, I think there's a chance that after a year, there's reasons for encouragement, but as far as, like, making some significant impact... Like, the Lions last year, with taking Brian Branch and... Gibbs and Laporta or whatever, like in the 2 years, that's an A draft, like after 1 year.
You know it right away.
Which isn't the end-all be-all. I don't think they drafted with just 1 year in mind. A lot of times when you grade a draft, it's, you know, 1 year in mind. Sometimes you look back even further and it ends up looking a certain way. So that's where I would put it.
Yeah, no, I actually don't disagree. I think there could be some starters here, and it wouldn't be surprised, even though some of those contracts are going to be hard to move around, to put on the bench.
They definitely like the big schools, though.
Oh, he's got a type.
That is for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
What is his type?
His type is big schools. big time programs that go places. I mean, two from USC, which okay, whatever.
So big time.
Yeah, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Auburn, Michigan.
The crazy thing about Caserio is day one was a bunch of youngsters. And these are kind of the developmental guys. These were all three-year players, 21 years old, 20, 21 years old. And then day two was a bunch of five-year guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's open to everything. I don't know what his if he does have a type. Actually, I do know he has a type.
Oh, he has a type.
That's his type.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, in terms of players, but in terms of school, I mean, it's got to be those monsters. He's not a small school guy. Tank Dell was the exception. And that's not a tiny school by any stretch, but a smaller school.
Yeah, he's the only one who didn't play. I mean, they weren't in the Big 12 yet. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, Lunchtime Confessions, post-draft edition here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Lunchtime Confessions. We confess our sins to you, the loophole. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Some of these confessions have to do with sports. Some have nothing to do with sports. We're transparent with you 24/7. Let it hang a little bit lower during Lunchtime Confessions. It is time to confess.
Getting a little worried about my brain.
What do you mean?
Figgy, I'm a little worried about my brain. So I've had this I've had this little thing that y'all don't want to look at, and I understand why you don't want to look at it on my nose for going on 8 days now.
It's a scrape, John.
I had a scrape on my nose.
It's a scrape from goggles. Your brain's fine.
I had a scrape on my nose, and then my nose has turned completely red, so I had to go to the doctor and get some antibiotics because it might be infected. But it's like they said, well, you really probably should get that because it's real close to your brain. I was like, yeah, probably a good idea. So I'm going to do that after. So if I start babbling incoherently more than usual, it might be the infection talking. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I don't know how this ends up. It seems like his off-field questions before had no impact on his where he was drafted, But Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons playing football next to each other kind of scares me. I'm not very thrilled about the possibility of a 400-poundish freak freeing up space for perhaps the best player in the AFC South. However, in Tennessee, there's a man named Tyler Rowland at Tic Tac Titans. He's not happy about this Tavondre Sweat draft pick, and he has been the source of a lot of ridicule among Titan fans. My fear is not shared by his optimism. Here's at Tic Tac Titans reacting to the Tavondre Sweat pick.
It's a smack in the face. It is spitting in the face of Tennessee Titans fans to act like they care about character concerns and then go get Tavondre Sweat, who is one of the worst character guys in the entire draft. All of that stuff is the off-field problem that you have with Tavondre Sweat. Now let's talk about on the field. And it kind of blurs together because clearly the dude does not love football, does not take it serious, is not mature, is not professional. And that's why he's been overweight his entire college career. 380 pounds. Tavondre Sweat only averaged 35 snaps a game in college because he is overweight and not in shape. Tavondre Sweat cannot play full games as a three-down defensive lineman. He does not have the stamina and the conditioning to do so. Basically, you just picked Tyre Tart in the second round. Man, to take a player like this at 38. I feel lied to. And then screw the character concerns for a second. Just the player himself.
It was a little high. I shouldn't say it was a little high. It was higher than I expected.
Yeah, I thought there would be some sort of fall. That was no fall.
That was actually higher than we might have predicted.
Yeah, you thought he was going to be there for the Texans. Titans took him, and there you go.
But we'll see on that. I mean, he could be right. He could be regretting that he said any of that because I like him. I like him as a player. Watch this. So my timing sucked on Saturday, and I want to give a shout out to somebody very, very important to us as a show. So we went out. I went out to the deal that Yin Figgy and
Daily Sports, Sports Club in Daily Midtown Club,
had a blast. Had mixed it up with some listeners. Had a nice chili dog, which I love. That's my favorite thing that they do. And then I got this message. Did you talk to this guy that wanted to meet me?
I did.
It just broke my heart.
They actually came up there on his fiance's birthday.
Yeah.
Dude.
And hung out with
us. So I was there, a little over an hour and a half, something like that. Yeah. And then I split because we had stuff to do. And apparently I walked right past him. But he didn't want to stop.
He told me. He said, "I ain't want to be that person." I'm like, "No, you got to be that person, man.
Absolutely stop.
We down to earth."
I wasn't on any schedule. Just needed to get to the next thing. I felt awful because his dad, he walked right by me and didn't stop me, and he should have. But his dad is Fernando Silva, who's a Tejano composer.
Okay.
And he's been diagnosed with an illness. That is kind of, got him down or whatever. So I absolutely wanted to say I'm sorry. Sometimes timing sucks.
Yeah.
I wish you'd have stopped me, but next time we'll get it done. So shout out to Fernando and apologize for that. Don't be afraid to stop us. That made me feel bad.
We like the streets, baby. We like the streets.
Yeah. Watch this.
Man, I wish D'Amico took the running back serious like all the other Shanahan offsprings. Sean McVay, you already got a running back in Williams. Steal of last year, you still took Blake Corum. Green Bay, you got two. You got A.J. Dillon, and you got Josh Jacobs. How about Marshawn Lloyd? Let's throw him to the mix. Miami, you got an array of running backs. How about Jalen Wright, who I really wanted the Texans to get?
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, you got Elijah Mitchell, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got some other guys. All right, well, let's go ahead and get Isaac Guerrero. Jets, Robert Saleh from that offspring. Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis. I long for the day when the Texans take the running back position serious. I had some people pretty close to that organization text me saying I was being too harsh in my criticism. I don't think I am. I think eventually they'll get there, but I long for the day where the running back position is looked at as churning instead of just settling, where you don't have a seventh-year special teams player playing relevant snaps, where You don't have one playable running back. I long for that day where you have the best running back in the league and you have a serviceable backup and you decide, you know what? I'm going to trade up. Not only did San Francisco take it, they traded up. I long for that day. Hopefully, D'Amico and Bobby Slowick get there. Maybe it's just not the right point in the process, but I can't wait till this roster is set up to where the Texans are valuing the running backs. I've been dying on this hill for damn near ever.
Since we've been doing this show.
Forever. Yep. And I thought we were going to be there. I really thought this was going to be where we were there. We're not there yet. Maybe one
not
day.
Not even close.
Still love you, D'Amico. You're still my favorite coach. Nick, you used to take running backs in the first round when you already had running backs. Maybe Nick will get there as well. Mm-hmm. Just a little brief vacation. I hope it's not costly. Hell, I hope Dameon Pierce goes there and lights the world on fire. But I cannot wait for the day when, like the guys who came before him from that pipeline, D'Amico Ryans values the running back.
I don't disagree with a word you said.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
That 4-6 that Lasseter runs, it does worry me. Like this is confessions, man. Like I he's done so well, he being Nick Caserio, and he's clearly a tough guy. Kirby Smart loves him, you know, talks about what a great football player he is. Went to Georgia. We know how much talent they have and how good he was. I get it. Big time football player. That 4-6 still worries me a little bit, man.
4-6 is not, that's, I mean, a cornerback. 4-5, 4-6. Yeah, that's
4-6 plus at cornerback. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. It's just, this is confessions. That does worry me a little bit.
Kind of slow.
Don't match him up with Worthy and nobody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey. See ya.
In the dust.
See ya.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I have a greedy vision. Don't know if it would be good or bad. I just know that if the NFL draft is on, I'm watching. It doesn't matter what's going on. What if the NFL tried to make the draft 7 days? What if they tried to go Monday through Sunday, rounds 1 all the way through round 7?
You got
to
combine at least 6 and 7.
What do you think the ratings would be?
Oh, they still get something.
I mean, round 7 would still outdraw an NBA game, right?
Probably. Playoff?
Probably so?
Probably. Because they do such a show.
Just imagine they getting better ratings in the 7th round over a playoff game.
Which would you watch?
Yeah.
I'm asking. You watching Bucks yesterday?
Nah. Nah.
7th round outdraws NBA playoffs. That's just rubbing it in.
If I'm the NBA, I do not want this to happen.
Yeah, that would just be rubbing it in.
They wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Y'all take those 3 days.
I do enjoy the Sunday rest day.
Oh, yeah.
After the long night that is the draft.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right. The Rolling Stones.
Oh, you went last night.
Freaking awesome. I actually ended up not going.
Oh, you did?
Well, because my head was giving me a problem. My nose was giving me a problem last night. That's what made me end up going to the doctor this morning. But so my son, my middle son, is a huge Stones fan.
So he went?
So we had a picnic.
It was kind of like the forced love.
So we decided to go have a picnic yesterday, which I can't remember the last time we had a picnic. All the kids. Oh, and the two grandkids, and we're sitting there at Shepherd Park just eating fried chicken from Gus's. I mean, it was awesome. Like a regular, good old-fashioned picnic. And they're all telling me, like, Dad, your nose looks awful. Like, you got to go to the doctor. Like, look at it. I mean, that's why I'm wearing a hat, because it's awful. And it started aching a little bit right here.
So you missed the Stones, huh?
So I said, I don't know. So I gave him the tickets, but... talked to him this morning and then reading the reviews. Like, I don't know how they do it. I honestly don't know how they do it. But, like, every review, Chronicle, Houston Press, was, like, off the charts good. Dude is 80. Mick Jagger's 80. Have you read about this, Vicky?
Yeah, well, I seen a couple. They killed it. Yeah, I seen some people at the concert posted a couple videos. He was moving around on the stage.
They killed it. How does it happen?
Coming up next, that's Lunchtime Confessions here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Scary moment for the Texans involving Tank Dell. And who are the ones that got away in the draft? Who are the ones that perhaps you wish the Texans would have selected? Reaction Monday continues next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Scary moment for Tank Dell. He was shot at a, I guess you call it a gathering in Florida. The reports are that he's fine. He's on his way back to Houston. Nothing life-threatening. Was kind of an innocent bystander. I guess a fight had had broken out. The suspect, a 16-year-old kid, being held on no bond, according to Will Kunkel, Fox Sports. I guess they're going to have a news conference about it in 20 minutes or so. But, yeah, Tank Dell, scary moment for him. Definitely could have been a lot worse. Seems like it's not going to impact his football. But just happy he's alive, honestly. That's that was wild to wake up to. You saw that Tank got shot was the text I got. I was like, what?
We were sitting out there at the park, and my son said, I said, no, check that. Well, it was true. Not only wild, just like the good fortune when bullets are flying, dude. And you don't know what's going to end up, but we'll see just how severe some of those his injury is, if it's lower extremity, if it affects anything, but shouldn't be anything long term.
The ones that got away, guys that you would have liked to have seen in a Houston Texans uniform. Now, the cost to trade up on day two did seem to, like it just kept increasing. Like the trade up cost, it damn sure wasn't the Jimmy chart. There were some high prices. We saw Philadelphia. They were paying high price to move up. It was right before the Texans. And when you saw that, you were just kind of like, okay, well, this is going to be expensive. Who were the ones that got away?
Well, didn't get away because they were taken, the first two anyway, didn't get away because they were taken before the Texans drafted. But Ladd McConkey was one I kind of had like a dang it. And then really I wasn't real high on Keon Coleman, as you know, but I sure did like him after I heard from him, which we'll hear from him later. But the ones that I felt bad about were the two, you know, we talk about Kool-Aid, but Cooper DeJean too, was taken at cornerback ahead of the Texans. So those were, two, and then could have had Edgren Cooper. We'll see what kind of player he ends up being, but people are high on him. And then in the third round, the two were that clearly they didn't prioritize the running back position as high as we thought they would, because they could have had Blake Corum or Marshawn Lloyd and didn't have those. So I would say those, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid, Edgren Cooper, Corum, and Lloyd.
Kool-Aid McKinstry for sure. And after he left, I would have loved to have seen him take Adonai Mitchell or Cooper instead of Lassiter. I get it. It feels like a need pick, which that's fine. We'll see how it ends up being. But I anticipate that we're going to be a little bit familiar with Adonai Mitchell. You put him opposite of Michael Pittman Jr. Mm-hmm. You have the threat of one of the best running backs in the league in Jonathan Taylor. Indianapolis was a game away from the Texans last year. I think Adonai Mitchell might be a little bit of a pain. Would have liked to have seen him here. Wide receiver could be a pressing need next year, depending on what happens with Nico and Diggs, Woods, Brown, all on the final year of their deal. So I would have kind of liked to have seen you add Adonai Mitchell. The Colts did it. You did not. Cooper, you spoke about the linebackers. Would have liked to have seen that. And then one of these elite running backs, whether it was Jalen Wright, whether it was Marshawn Lloyd, one of those guys, I really would have liked to have seen the Texans get to where you feel good about a guy. Not saying, well, maybe he can make the team based on kickoff return, but a guy who you feel like could potentially help in games and add a different element that you don't have at running back. Those kind of hurt. I was glad they got Stover, the tight end. They needed tight ends. And then as far as the rest, I'm not trying to just stick to Texas guys, but I thought that Whittington, I didn't know he was going to go as early as he did in the fifth round. I thought he could have been a sixth or seventh round guy. But when the Rams draft a slot receiver, especially when they draft him earlier than he's supposed to go, it just kind of makes me a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Cooper Kupp on day two of the draft. Then they took Puka last year around the same area. And then they already have those two guys and they add Jordan Whittington. It automatically just makes you think, okay, what do these guys know?
They know something
that perhaps the Texans didn't know, especially given the fact that CJ was talking about Ricky Pearsall and having someone in kind of the slot. It just makes me wonder, okay, if the Rams like him at slot receiver, what are we doing?
No, here? That's absolutely reasonable. And his athleticism, we all know about that. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, Texas had some players this year. That's not like a Texas thing. That's a players thing. Because, you know, I felt real high about Sweat. Not even as high as the Titans, apparently. But the only ones I really, really kind of wondered about, and they answered it because they brought in the safety was Corum and Lloyd available in the third round. Two good running backs. Like that would have been one where I don't know if I'm going to question it, but I was as it was happening.
Yeah, the Mitchell thing, I do think that's something to keep an eye on. I don't anticipate that going well. I would be very surprised if 2 years from now we're not looking back at that and saying, damn, the Texans could have had him and now he's in Indianapolis and they have Lasser. That one just. It doesn't feel great. Chris Ballard, we'll hear what he had to say when we go around the NFL. There were some reports that perhaps his attitude and the old diabetes kind of came into play as well. But, yeah, that's where it is. I don't look at this as a short-term draft, though. I think this was kind of that two-year window that Nick Caserio always speaks of.
In certain cases, for sure. In others, I think there's going to be some opportunities, as we've been talking about, for people to maybe make some noise and get up the depth chart. Adonai Mitchell, he's going to be up the depth chart. He's going to be immediately a factor.
He is definitely starting.
Yeah.
What did you make of Kool-Aid McKinstry going the pick before? Do you think that he was going to be the pick that they were going to make?
In my heart, yes. We'll never know.
Would you feel better about Lassiter if they passed on Kool-Aid to get him, or do you?
Oh, absolutely, right?
Well, on one hand,
if they were both there?
Yeah, on one hand, you say, okay, there's nothing they could have done about it, so they took Lassiter. But on the other hand, you say, okay, well, they had their crack at both of them, and they went with Lassiter instead of Kool-Aid. We'll never know that. They'll never admit that. But I find a hard time. Like, do you think they take Lassiter over Dejean and McKinstry?
No way, right?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I mean, just in my opinion, there's no way. They have their board. Somewhere there's a list of their cornerbacks. Somewhere they have it. And if Lassiter is above DeJean and Kool-Aid, well, then maybe. But I gotta believe that, first of all, the Saints made that move, too, for a reason. Because they had to believe whatever intel they had that the Texans were going to get Kool-Aid. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the chance.
Yeah, so that's clearly what they thought.
Were there Kool-Aid chants at the draft party, Figgy?
Nah, it was a lot of people that was upset that Kool-Aid went off the board, though. It was like a big known, it was like very known.
The assumption that Blake Fisher, the tackle out of Notre Dame, is drafted for depth, I do wonder, a couple text messages, a couple of comments, what if Blake Fisher just comes in and beats out Titus Howard?
Okay, then he beats him out. I've been saying that all day.
It's pretty expensive.
I've been saying it since they drafted him, and I don't mean to be redundant, but there is a reason that he was so high, that he was picked so high. And that attack, you know, like two years ago, whenever they drafted Kenyon Green, you draft a guy that high in the first round, he's going to be an immediate starter. You got to put him in you expect him to be a starter. Second round is only slightly, you know, different than that. Left tackles get drafted in the first round and become starters.
This could be just to avoid having to draft one in 2 years, though.
Could be. But again, that's a lot of equity that you're putting in one position in the second round. That's a premium position to just say, well, we'll see in 2 years. No, I don't know. They're going to see what he has. Yeah, that's for sure.
Listening to all the kids talk, it's a likable group for sure. From Lassiter to Stover to Bullock to Fisher. I mean, it's a likable group. They do seem to have, when you talk about a type, just kind of the makeup and stuff. I did find it interesting that the split was three-year players on day two and then fifth-year players on day three. I don't know that that's a type of thing. I think that's just Caserio just really being able to mix it up and look for the good in different situations, different scenarios.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily an approach or a philosophy, but you get into day, you know, late day two into day three, you're looking for like that one NFL quality that can translate, if nothing else, to special teams. And those are the veteran guys that have been around, you know, and stuff like that. Like look at their picks. A lot of those guys can be pretty versatile.
I told you that there were going to be three starters from this draft class by midway in the season, who would you say those three starters are?
I got you, man, because I was looking at that.
Who would the three starters be?
I would say Lassiter.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Lassiter, because he could maybe be nickel or something else. Who knows? You know, so Lassiter, Fisher, sorry. I mean, sorry.
Lord.
He's drafted there for a reason. How many times can you hear me say that? And this is not very, you know, creative. I would say Bullock. Let me take that back. Stover.
Okay, Stover over Schultz?
No, over like two tights or something. Like he's going to be, you know, he's the blocking, tough guy, all that stuff. So I would say Lassiter, Fisher, and Stover.
I would say Bullock. Lord. I would say Bullock. I guess Lassiter. Don't feel confident in that. And then maybe Hill.
Why are you staying away from Fisher, man?
Because I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe that they gave a guy a contract extension to be one of the highest paid tackles in the league and he's not better than a second rounder.
Well, I don't want to believe it either.
No, I mean, I don't believe he's one of the best tackles in the league, but I just kind of find myself not wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the text line, you let the offensive tackle develop and then he beats out Howard or Tunsil. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years, not necessarily saying that he's better than either one of those guys, but you're going to have to make tough decisions. We see Buffalo having to do it. We see Miami having to do it. When you get to that point, you have to make tough decisions. I think both Baltimore and KC, yes, they've had to say goodbye to starting left tackles in the last 4 or 5 years once you start paying the quarterback. So
perhaps the Texans get to that point. If you did draft a guy that was going to be a first-round talent, then maybe you draft him to be an improved depth piece and you avoid having to draft a tackle 2 years from now. So maybe it's kind of a checker slash chess type of thing, but who knows? Interesting draft, to say the least. I don't think if you laid it out like this before the draft that even the most optimistic Texans fan would be saying that looks great, but who knows? It's one of those things where it can't grade it after a year. Sometimes it takes some time, and that's how I look at it. I gave it a C, which you passed, and we'll see what happens in how this all plays out. Coming up, the craziest sounds from the draft. Let's go around the NFL next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.